This week on the show, we're talking new TVs, also The Last Guardian, and of course there's going to be Final Fantasy 15 discussion. Get the fuck, come on. You know me better than that. Stay tuned. January 22nd, 2017, you're listening to Serious Video Games Business. I'm your host, Ben Gould. How are ya? How is everybody? Oh man, are we all fucking caught up finally? No, Ben, still, we're not. Are you gonna keep asking every single week? Well, yeah, I guess, until I figure out how to do this intro thing. That's only been, what, 30 episodes? That's actually exactly it, if we don't count the car episodes. Let's dive right in this week. I got no time. I got no time for this fucking idle chatter. Because we got football, baby. Don't say baby. No, but we've got the NFC Championship right now. Going on right now. And then my Patriots, they're not mine, of course. But the Patriots will be taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers just a couple hours from now. So I want to fucking get this knocked out and get watching that. But I didn't want to miss another week with you people. You know, I felt like last week I took the week off because I wanted to buckle down and I wanted to finish the story, the main quest line in Final Fantasy 15, Alliteration Station. Well, I did it. And I have to say, it was heartwarming. it was a beautiful story. You know, a lot of people complain that there were a lot of plot elements missing because, you know, if you don't watch Kingsglaive, you don't watch the free anime series Brotherhood that they have on YouTube, that, you know, maybe it doesn't quite hit you emotionally like it should. But I did watch all of those things, so I have no complaints. I highly recommend it. But it's like, look, if you're playing Final Fantasy, you're a nerd, all right? Don't be like, oh, I'm just casually playing Final Fantasy. It's a game that takes like 100 hours to completely clear every single thing in that game. So don't be like, I don't have the time to watch the movie or the fucking, you know, the anime series. You do. So just watch it and it'll increase your enjoyment of the game's main quest line. So I just want to throw out, this isn't an official review or anything. I think I'll do an official one next week, hopefully. But I did just want to say that, you know, a lot of critics online talking about, you know, how the entire second half of the game felt rushed, that it felt like Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain that recently came out. Recently, like, what, last year, Ben? Yeah, about that. I mean, I can see where people get that, because the first portion of the game is just like this completely open world. You're basically on a gigantic, well, I mean, relative to the game, gigantic continent with different, you know, there's deserts and marshlands and fucking cities and stuff to walk around in. And then in the second part of the game, they put you on another continent, but they put you on a train, which basically, like... It just ushers you along the story, and you can tell, I mean, just looking at the map, I'm like, okay, they meant for this to be like a second open world in this game. You know, it stinks to think of what could have been with that, certainly, had the game, but how many more years would it have taken to put in like basically a completely thorough second continent to like flesh out the second act? Would it have taken another 2, maybe 3 years to polish it up nice? Honestly, you know, it's easy to create an open world. It's really hard to create an open world and fill it with meaningful content. I mean, even the first part of the game that has the nice open world does have a lot of filler quests, I'll admit. And I've gone on record as saying I don't care that they're filler quests. I still enjoy them very much. Just because the game itself is so beautiful, I don't care that they make you go out and kill, like, you know, 5 of the same monster. Who cares? It's just a pretty game. And you know, another game, pivoting right now. I want to talk about another game I recently finished, which is The Last Guardian, both of the PlayStation 4 games I received from Santa on Christmas. Last Guardian. I was playing it the week that I had off following Christmas, and I noticed that I was breezing through it pretty fast. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put this down and sink more time into Final Fantasy, because that game's going to take way longer to beat. And even with the week off, I still hadn't beat that game. And I was correct. I was probably two-thirds done with The Last Guardian. It's a campaign of... I mean, I got the achievement for beating it in less than 15 hours. So there you go. It's a less than 15-hour single-player campaign. And I don't see any reason to start it again. I guess there's, like, collectibles and different outfits and stuff. I don't give a shit. Narratively... just, you know, I'm picking up what they're putting down, you know, a boy and his gigantic bird dog. You know, you play as a boy who, again, this isn't, you know, going to be the official review. I know you're waiting, but Ben, you're commenting on it. Is this the review? How am I going to know if I should buy it? Just fucking go out and play it. I'll try and have a more professional review at some point, just like Final Fantasy, but just until then. Just wanted to say, great game, graphically just gorgeous. I mean, the feathers on this bird dog, so detailed. I mean, the way they do the lights and the darks and the colors in both, especially Final Fantasy. What struck me the most about Final Fantasy is that even in the desert, even in, like, these plain landscapes, there was just an abundance of color that's been missing from next-generation games, I feel like. Everything's been so dark and gray and fucking nothing pops anymore. You know, everything takes place in the future and there's holograms and fucking, you know, like in Mass Effect. I can't think of any scene in Mass Effect where, you know, I was like, oh, man, the colors that they're using right now. It's never, and don't underestimate the use of color in video games, because it, like I said, it takes the aesthetic of the game to a whole other level. It makes even filler side quests worth doing, just because you're like, I gotta go out there and explore this world a little bit more. The reason I wanted to start off the show pivoting once more with those two games is because of the main topic of today's show, which is TVs. I am so fucking, I mean, you think I'm nerdy about video games. I am so fucking nerdy about TVs. It's ridiculous. And it's amazing I don't talk more about them on this show, probably because I could go on forever. So I'm going to try and keep it. I'm going to try and keep it as reasonably, I'm going to try and rein in the rambling, not like I'm doing right now, but I'm going to rein in the rambling just a little bit. And talk about new TVs that are coming out this year and where we stand with formats and all the new technology, because it's starting to get confusing out there. If you haven't been paying attention, you have no idea. Like, you go out and buy a new TV, all these terms they're going to throw at you: HDR, 4K, fucking UHD, SUHD, like all this shit that's getting thrown at you. You're like, I have no idea. Just give me a nice high definition TV, please. And what is, do they still do 3D? Is probably not even a question that you would have anymore. So let's get into that. So let's talk about what the main driver of today's discussion is. You want to go out and you want to get a new TV, right? Today. Maybe not today, or maybe this year. You're like, I want to get a new TV at some point this year. I know they're expensive and I want to get a good one. So, Ben, what am I looking for? Well, there's so many different factors going into it, all right? But the main thing that you're going to want to look for in a new TV is something called high dynamic range, HDR. If you get a TV and it doesn't have HDR, then you might as well just get your regular run-of-the-mill 1080p HDTV. And they still make really nice ones. You can get a really nice 1080p HDTV. And you can get them reasonably priced, under $1,000 for a big screen. the technology has come as far as it possibly can in that respect, in that format. But the format you've probably been hearing tossed around a lot lately is HDR. You know, PlayStation, if you're into video games, you've heard, you know, PS4 recently started supporting HDR via firmware patch on all PS4s. Obviously, the PS4 Pro can run it. Xbox One S can use HDR, and whatever Project Scorpio ends up being, that's going to use HDR as well. So what is HDR? And how many more times am I going to say HDR? Probably a lot. High dynamic range is basically a larger color range. If we're breaking it down just to its basics, it's a larger color range that your eye can perceive on a TV. Right now, you look at a TV and you probably don't even think of it right now, but it's like a TV can't reproduce all of the colors that an eye can see. So, you know, what you're seeing is actually sort of like, even if the picture looks great, it's still like a muted, not natural version of what you would see in real life. The main driver behind getting HDR should be that you're looking for absolutely the best picture available today. All right. Content-wise, we're not quite there yet. Some of the streaming services, Netflix and Amazon, and I don't think Hulu yet, but they've started supporting some HDR streaming. Basically, all right, just breaking it down, you're going to be seeing, you know, darker blacks and whiter whites, and the colors are going to be more vivid. It's just a more beautiful picture. And it's, you know, it can be kind of a pain in the ass right now, because right now there's a format war that you don't even know about. If this is the first time hearing about HDR for you, you're like, whoa, I'm just learning about this right now. And now you're telling me that there's more than one format. Yeah, unfortunately, it's fucking bullshit, but it's the truth. There are two competing formats right now. Well, about to be three. Let's not get into that. All right. There's HDR10, which is basically, if you have a TV that says it's HDR compatible or capable, rather, it can support HDR10. It's an open source format. You know, that's what the PS4 Pro runs. It's what PS4s run in general. It's what the Xbox runs on right now. Excuse me. So there's, you know, there's HDR10. Everybody has it if you have HDR, right? And then there's Dolby Vision. Dolby is in, like, Thomas Dolby is in Dolby Surround Sound. They've got their own proprietary version of HDR that, I don't know, it's more like a premium version of HDR. It's got it's a slightly larger color. I don't want to misspeak on this, but I'm probably going to misspeak. This will be a correction next week. Slightly larger color palette. It's a nicer, slightly nicer version of HDR. Okay. And you can only get, like, it's one of those things. It's like, if you want to have a TV that's, you know, Dolby Vision certified, it's got to be certified to have, like, these certain specs. So if you get a TV that has that, that has Dolby Vision, it can also support HDR10. So you don't have to worry about that. I know you were seriously worried about that. Are we fucking nerding out enough with hardware specs? Can you tell them, like, I'm getting ahead of myself and I'm getting nervous because it's like, this is all the stuff that's running through my head constantly, because I'm in the market for a new TV. Right now, I've got a 46-inch Samsung 1080p, you know, 3D-capable TV that I've had since 2011, 2012 maybe, and it has served exceptionally well. It's a very well-made TV. The picture is beautiful. Replaced the old Philips LCD 720p TV that we had, and it's just beyond compare. It's beautiful, it's bright, the colors are nice, it's gorgeous. But then something happened. We moved. Now, my TV would have continued being a fantastic TV for another few years probably, and it'll still be a great TV because eventually it'll replace the bedroom TV, right? Like, you know, I don't fucking know. All right. Big pause. Hold on. Had to hit the pause button there. Had to gather my thoughts. My mouth is getting dry just thinking about all this technology. All right. So where was I? I was talking about how I'm in the market for a new TV this year too, right? I need something larger. Now, if I'm going to go larger, I might as well go better, right? Because there's new technology out there, and it's like, I don't want to buy an expensive TV only to have it outclassed a few years from now when the price goes down, right? So I want to get something. If I'm going to get something 60 inches or larger, you got to go with the best technology. I want to get HDR. I want to have 4K. Now let's backpedal here, because I mentioned HDR and I mentioned what that does. Let's talk about 4K for a second. What is 4K? Well, for the longest time, when it came to HDTV, there were a few standards, right? You had 720p, which was like the first HD format. That's 720 vertical lines of pixels. Then the next upgrade was 1080p, which was even better. I mean, marginal compared to 70. When you're talking about like standard definition versus 720, it was like no comparison. It's like, holy shit, HD is unbelievable. The next upgrade to 1080p, it was like, yeah, this is pretty nice too. This is pretty good. But it wasn't like, whoa, like the jump was from standard to HD. Next up, now you're hearing everybody say 4K, 4K TVs. What are 4K TVs? Well, 4K isn't exactly, it's not 4,000 vertical lines like you would think. Sorry if there was a jump there. I had to hit the pause button again. So we were talking about 4K. Right now, 1080 and 720, those are measured by the vertical resolution, the amount of pixels vertically, how many lines there are. For whatever reason, with 4K, they decided to measure horizontally, probably because 4K sounds better, but it's actually more like 2K is the resolution. But maybe they didn't think that sounded as impressive, so it's 4K. So basically what it is it's more like 2K. It's still a huge jump in resolution. The pixels are impossibly small. Gone are the days where you could just go up to your TV and really eyeball it and be like, oh, you could remember. Did you ever do that as a kid? Maybe only I did this. When your TV was on and you would go up to it and you could see like the little squares of red, green, and blue, and you were like, oh yeah, that's a pixel. And that's how like I initially got interested in crap like that. But now the resolution is so fine, like it's almost impossible to see if you were to go up to a 4K TV and try and eyeball the individual pixels. You can probably still see them, but you can barely see them with a 1080p TV, so even harder. So basically what that does is it creates a finer resolution picture, but there's not a ton of not a ton of content out there for it right now. Some of the streaming services support it. Games don't quite support it yet. They up-res it from 1080p, which can still look good depending on the TV and what hardware you're using, but you know, it's not quite there yet, but it'll be the next thing. Now people talk about, you know, well, what does this mean, like getting a 4K? Well, it's not going to make as big a difference to you as it would between a 720 and a 1080p TV. But if you're in the market for a larger TV, you're going to want 4K, because the larger the TV, the more it's going to matter going forward into the future. Now that, you know, I've moved, we have a larger living room, so now we're sitting about 10 feet away from the TV, whereas before we were sitting like maybe 5-6 feet away. Now it makes sense for us to get like a 65-inch TV, and that will kind of help fill out that wall, and it'll help kind of make movies and video games more immersive than they are right now. So that's why I'm getting into it. That's why I'm excited about it. So 4K on a what you're gonna want is, at least they say you should get 4K only if you're gonna get like a 60-inch TV, you know, or higher, but it depends on how close you sit. If you sit again like 5 or 6 feet from the TV, it makes sense still to get a 4K TV and be this way you're more prepared for the future when more content, when more 4K content does start coming out. You're going to see a lot of stuff out there. Some of the Blu-rays out there have, you know, ultra HD Blu-ray. Those are the ones that are 4K. They're HDR compatible. That's more of the stuff that you're going to be seeing in the future. And what's even more exciting is soon, I don't know how soon, but soon broadcast TV is going to upgrade their format so they can start broadcasting in 4K and probably HDR in the future. That'll be really cool because that's what I get right now. We got an antenna on the roof and the picture is gorgeous because it's not compressed like cable TV. So, you know, football games and the news and everything, we don't watch a ton of broadcast TV, but the stuff we do watch is absolutely gorgeous. So that being said, all right, Ben, we've settled up. You've convinced me, or I've convinced you rather. You need to get you're in the market for a new TV. You want to get a big one. And you're like, I want to not future proof, but I want to be ready for the future. So we've got 4K, we've got HDR. I'll make sure my new TV has those, is what you're saying, hopefully. But Ben, what happened to 3D? Do I have to worry about 3D? No. No, you don't have to worry about 3D. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you there. It's not your fault. You didn't know. Look, that Samsung that I was telling you about that I have, the 1080p one in the living room, that one's 3D capable. You know how many times we've used 3D since we bought it? None. None times we've used 3D because 3D content just never ended up materializing. Oh, sure, there were movies and stuff that we could have rented in 3D, but we would have each had to buy like these $40 to $50 glasses that use batteries that are like, why am I going to do that? Seriously. Like 3D technology it's personally for me, I'd rather watch a movie without it. And it sucks that like all the new movies that come out that I really want to see, if I want to see them in IMAX, they're always in 3D, like the latest Star Wars. I could have done without the 3D because it's not that impressive to me. It's pretty, sure, but it's like it's kind of a hassle to put on the glasses and like strain my eyes, strain my wife's eyes, and she has glasses already that she has to put those on top of. It's a pain in the ass. Why would anyone want to do that? So don't worry about 3D. Worry about getting HDR. Worry about getting 4K. Now the next problem. There's a couple different kinds of TVs. Now you remember a few years ago, it was the two basic TVs you could get. If you wanted an HD TV, you could get a plasma or you could get an LCD TV. Now, an LCD TV, liquid crystal display, used to be illuminated with a cold cathode, like fucking fluorescent tube or something like that. It used to have fluorescent backlighting. So it was bright, but you couldn't turn off the backlighting couldn't adapt. So like when scenes were dark, it was still way too bright. It just didn't have the contrast that plasma had because plasma didn't have that same backlight, but it also used more electricity, had a shorter, usage life. So there were the pros and cons to each. LCD kind of won out. Plasma, it was kind of expensive to make, and you know, eventually what really put them in the ground was LED LCD TVs, which is what you see mostly in if you walk into your local Best Buy and you're like, I need a new TV, most of them on the wall are going to be LED LCD. Most of them are just going to say LED TVs, but they're not LED TVs, because that would lead you to believe that each individual pixel is a different colored LED, and it's not, where the technology isn't there yet. They talk about someday LEDs could be that small, and then you'd have like a perfect picture that could reproduce like crazy colors, but we're not there yet. So right now you've got basically LCDs with LED backlighting, which is how you get these really crazy thin TVs, or they were like the first ones to be crazy thin. Because they can just put the LED backlights into the edges of the displays. But that presents its own problem. That's what I have in the current TV that I have. But the problem with that is that when scenes are dark, you can obviously see on the edges of the screen. It's brighter than it is in the center of the screen. And it's like, if you're not looking for it, you're probably not going to see it. And if you're watching a football game or whatever, something bright, you're not going to notice it. But when you're watching movies, when you're playing games, it's not giving you that perfect contrast. Now, do you need perfect contrast? Well, if you do, what you really want to get is an OLED TV. Whew. I'm sorry. Let's take a break. Okay, I'm back through the magic of the pause button. We were talking OLED TVs. But Ben, you just said to me that LEDs haven't been shrunk down small enough yet, that you can comprise an entire screen of them with no backlighting, that you can't have that. Well, guess what? I misled you a little bit, and I'm sorry for that. I didn't mean to mislead you. Because that's technically what OLEDs are. What is an OLED TV? Well, what it is, remember what I was talking about, those individual pixels before, the little red, green, and blue things that you could see in the old days when you used to eyeball your TVs when they were on? Well, what an OLED is it's those individual pixels. Each color is a different organic material that when electricity stimulates it, it creates that color. Now, what does that mean? What that means is there's no need for a backlight. So if there's a scene that has a black pixel in it, they just turn off the pixel itself. There's no, you can't do that with an LED LCD right now. All they can do is they can kind of dim the edges. They have what's called local dimming, you'll see. So if you get an HDR capable LCD, it'll say local dimming, but it's not perfect. You'll still have a little bit of backlighting occasionally that you'll be able to see. With an OLED, none of that. None of that. It is a perfect picture. Sorry for popping that P in right into the microphone, but it is a perfect picture. Basically, if you want to see an example of this in action, most newer phones have this. I have the Galaxy S5. I just looked around for it like I'm going to show you. But like, turn on your Galaxy S5 and like go to, you know, gallery or something, because gallery will usually have those black bars depending on whether you're viewing something in portrait or landscape. And notice how on that screen, if you have a newer phone, that there's no, you don't see any black, you don't see any backlighting bleeding through the screen. It's just what's supposed to be black on the screen is just black. It's off. They turned the pixel off. And what is supposed to have color has color in it and is light, right? So it's basically this perfect representation of what you're supposed to be seeing. It's an unbelievable technology. It's also unbelievably expensive. If you want an OLED TV over an LED TV, well, you're talking about a different, it's usually twice the price. You can get a really quality like Samsung or Sony LED with HDR. You can get all that for like $1,500 if you want something that's like 65 inches right now. You want that same exact TV, but you want it in OLED, well, it's going to be like $3,000 to $4,000, depending on the model. And there's only really one maker of it right now, and that's LG. They've kind of got the market cornered on that. Sony is starting to make some. I think Vizio makes a couple of OLEDs. But basically, my personal recommendation is going to be OLED. Now, where does that leave us? Well, we just had CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, a couple of weeks ago, and they didn't really announce any crazy new revolution. Samsung said that they would have quantum dot technology in their new TVs, which is basically marketing. They're not quite there yet. They'll have a wider color range, but it's not the quantum dot technology that, like, we can get into quantum dot if that ever comes to fruition. But basically, Samsung is like, nah, we're not doing OLED. We're going to stick with, you know, LED, LCD TVs. And that's fine by them. But unfortunately, that's going to make me switch to LG, because I want to fucking, if I'm going to get a brand new TV and I'm going to get a huge TV, and you're telling me one has a perfect picture with perfect contrast and is like not future proof, but pretty much future proof. It's ready to take on the new content for the next few years. That's what you want. I want the OLED TV. I'm going to get that LG, son. That's my personal recommendation. You know, another little facet about OLED is, since it doesn't have a backlight, they can be crazy thin. So TVs like are already crazy thin, but now, like, what they announced at CES, basically LG was like, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, but check this out. Excuse me. They came out with a TV that they call like a wallpaper TV. That's, you know, I forget. It's like less than half of an inch thick. It's crazy. It looks like a poster that you can throw on your wall and cover it. And it's again, just this perfect TV, and like all of the guts of the TV, the sound bar and the processor and all that, are connected via a ribbon. So you can put that on your console, put the wallpaper TV up on the wall, but that's like, it's like $7,000 for that. That's a little bit out of my asking range. That's not what I'm looking for right now. So unfortunately, it's looking like old Benny Boy is not going to be able to get himself a brand new OLED TV anytime soon. Although the prices might come down on last year's models when they come out with this year's models, probably sometime in March, April. But I hear that the best time to buy a TV, it's a little secret between you and me, is Black Friday. So if you're in the market for a TV, wait till around that time when they're trying to like clear the glut of inventory that they have. Best time to get a TV. Some people say it's during the Super Bowl. That's not true. They are on sale right now, but not crazy markdown like they are during Black Friday. Well, that's it. I know that's a little abrupt, and it's like, well, we barely even talked about Final Fantasy. Ben, you barely talked about the games. You fucking rambled about TV forever. I understand, and I'm upset at myself too. I had to get this TV nerd talk out of my system. Okay, next week it'll be more about video games again. I apologize. In the meantime, get yourself, if you're getting a new TV, go OLED. Get yourself something big. Treat yourself to something nice. All right, be ready for the future, because the future is coming, no matter what anybody says. I know Trump's our president now, and people are like, I don't fucking know. Tomorrow may never come. It will. Don't worry about it. And you're going to want a nice TV when it does come. So that's going to be the show for the week. At SVGB Podcast on Twitter, svgbblog.wordpress.com. Holy shit, I actually did it this week. Fucking go Patriots. And I know that's fucking, everyone hates the Patriots, but you know what? Can't hate on the fact that they're fucking good ass team, good ass organization. Don't, you know, and the Steelers are great too. All of the Final Four teams are fantastic. And that's what I can't wait. I can't wait to go to end this podcast and go and fucking watch these games. All right, that's going to be it for me this week. Fucking have a good night. Have a good week. Go play some fucking video games.